Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Welcome everyone to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, and today we're going to talk a little bit about operational preparedness, a continuity and contingency. It's actually a training that we have coming up in the month of June. It is June 1st, June 3rd, June 15th, and June 17th. So it is a 12-hour training program that we have. And today, our guest that we have with us is one of our facilitators. Her name is Darcy Cook. She's got a lot of letters after her name, so let me go over those really quick. It's Darcy Cook, C-S-H-O-S-H-S-P-T-A. You're going to have to tell me what they all are soon, Darcy, because I have no idea. But Darcy Cook is the owner of Safety Trainers. She also has another great business. It's called Smash Hit 2. We can talk about that at the end. Maybe after somebody goes to Smash Hit and then they take your trainings, they'll be really common zen and be able to figure out how to do an emergency action plan. So I would like to welcome Darcy. I think is this your first podcast with us, Darcy?
I think it might be my second, maybe third even, but yeah. They're fun. We love it, Haley. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So before we get started, we always ask a question. And the question I'm going to ask you is, when you were younger and you started out in your, let's say, career path, did you think this is what you would be doing?
Not at all. So my career path was really pretty clear. At 14 years old, I competed in gymnastics pretty aggressively. I was one of those Florida, down in Florida, UCA on TV kind of cheerleaders competing. And I blew out my knee in one of the performances. And it took we're talking several years ago, but the way they did physical therapy back then was pretty much borderline torture, like legitimately torturous. They used to tie me down and strap me down and lock the door and leave the room because I would scream and yell. It took me over a year to walk. Oh. And on that day, when I was 14 years old, I said, no one's ever going to go through this.
Yeah.
And since that day, and I found a physical therapist who actually, after a year of literally being tortured, within 3 months, he had me walking.
Wow.
So that changed everything for me. So I moved right into physical therapy, sports medicine. That was my career path. I came out and I started, you know, in the healthcare arena, but things changed. And I found in the UMass Memorial System, moving into work hardening, work conditioning, back to work programs. I became a facilitator within the hospital, doing hospital trainings for staff that were required for workplace. And my brothers were firefighters and EMTs and paramedics. And our conversations at the Thanksgiving dinner table were not like every other family, right? So it was always about who had a story to one up each other. And one day my father said, you really should manage and take care of your brothers. They were teaching first aid and CPR classes way back then. And I was like, there's no money in safety. I'm going to own fit therapy clinics. I'm going to be in healthcare. And, you know, things changed. And so here we are, I don't know, 20 years later, I think every one of my family members have worked for me. And now it's just me and my youngest brother left. But yeah.
Oh my God, that's great. And now you actually do, you know, so your dad was right after all, right? And you take care of a lot of other people. Obviously, you take care of a lot of the manufacturers that we work with. We also want to congratulate you on being the Worcester Business Journal Manufacturing Champion.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we were really surprised. Thank you to MassMEP for making that nomination. You know, but what we love about our MassMEP partnership is that so often it's a challenge to create measurables, right? Everyone talks about KPIs, right? Everyone wants a measurable. And when we talk about safety, like, you know, they typically look at injury and illness reports, and like, you know, you can look at dollars and cents or cost of like what that looks like, and, you know, what's your lag time on reporting and stuff. But, you know, what we were able to accomplish in partnership with MassMEP and the trainings that we were provided is these companies actually started looking at the value of prevention, right? Like, because most of the time they're doing measurables post-incident, post-accident, right? An evaluation of expense and cost. When we preach prevention, really costs you less. But again, how do you put a number around that? And what we were very thankful for is that partnership with MAP and you guys being able to survey, right? The people attended our trainings and they were actually able to give us some real tangibles, real measurable results of how the trainings that we're doing are impacting their business immediately, effectively, cost, value added, you know, growth, employee retention. I mean, like some of these numbers, when we added them up, were pretty powerful things. So thank you. We're very excited about that award, but I always say, you know, it may have gone to, you know, one person. It just took a team to make it all happen. And I think everyone's benefited from this team, that, you know, safety trainers and MEP with the programs that we guys were putting out. I think our programs are like, you know, A plus, like top of the line kind of stuff.
I agree. We are very partial to that. And I think what was so fun, and it was also, we really enjoyed being able to have that, front loaded image of, you knew where this was going and what was going to happen with this. And it gave us that opportunity to provide that information out to all the manufacturers. And we did, over the summer of 2020, we did that webinar series. A lot of people walked away from it and they were just like, how does this woman get that much content in 1 hour? And then they came out of it, and that's where all of that information came from. And I know when we sat down, we did our first survey, I had the opportunity to do it with one of our business development advisors, Ron Giard. And we sat down, and when we spoke with the individual from the company and they said their KPIs, and we were just, even she was kind of flabbergasted in saying, I just can't get over, you know, wow, we actually could retain these jobs. And then we actually were able to create jobs as well. And then the sales that we retain, because you told us, being Darcy told us, what we needed to do to stay in business, whether, you know, because we all weren't essential. There were some of us that weren't. And so some people had to pivot, but in order to pivot doesn't mean you just pivot, you know, you had to do other things as well. Right. So you kind of have to get to a point where you're pivoting, you know, you've got to try and do something different, but there were safety parameters that were put into place for that as well. And now we fast forward to where we are today. And now we are obviously a year removed from when this all went down. And we are, what are we, like 6-8 months out from when we did these trainings. And we've had to kind of shift focus again. So we have this operational preparedness, which is a continuity and contingency training. And originally we had called it a pandemic control plan, but we're not calling it that anymore, Darcy. So why did we make the switch?
Yeah. So here's what we're hearing. Here's what we're seeing. Here's what we know that's coming. Right. And, you know, COVID-19, infectious control, bloodborne pathogens, any combination that you want to talk about it, however it gets rolled out, which it'll soon be rolled out. It'll actually have an official name. It'll actually have some parameters and guidelines around it. We'll have a federal law pretty soon. Whatever that's going to be, it's going to be integrated into your emergency action plan, which every company and every business is required to have. They've always been required to have it. And every emergency situation isn't the same. And I say it all the time. There's no two McDonald's that are the same, no two manufacturers the same, no school system that's the same. We're not all exactly the like. And OSHA doesn't tell us exactly how to cross that finish line. They just tell you what the expectation is that you get across that finish line. And so customizing, having conversations, open-ended questioning that gets people thinking, how do we do it here? How is the best way to implement it here? Because again, there's no one way to do it. And we thought that really what we should teach people is to build that foundation. Everything's about a foundation, right? Your house is only going to be as good in the wind and the rain and the storms, right? COVID, right? New regulations, new problems that come up is as well as your foundation is, right? As your weakest link. And that foundation really comes around. We all harshly, quickly learned that maybe we didn't have a plan. Maybe we weren't as prepared, right, for this pandemic. Clearly, we all, some of us bounced back quicker than others. Some of us adjusted quicker than other of us. Some of us reinvented our companies and businesses. Some of, you know, downsized, upsized. Like, you know, there was a lot of moving parts really quickly. And for some, you know, they are at what I call maybe the sail is out and they're just on, you know, holding it together, right? Some are flourishing and some are like still looking at coming back into the workforce. I'm like, we haven't even hit finishing phase four yet in Massachusetts, right? Where our whole entire state will be completely opened and, you know, less guidelines that are going to be presenting itself. So we thought, hey, you know what? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's start where we need to start. COVID's kind of at the end of where we needed to be. Let's go back to the beginning. Business continuity. We all just experienced it. Were we able to keep our doors open or not? What are the changes that we had to make and the sacrifices that we had to make to stay open? And then that is required your emergency action plan. And you know, we had an emergency. We had a crisis. We were in the middle of a pandemic. I don't know how many, you know, people would have ever guessed that, you know, half of the state and country would be home, right? Yeah. We would not be operating along the way. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be better prepared. So we were just talking about prevention and be having a plan. I can guarantee you this one thing, Haley, is if companies who have plans, who have these conversations today, mm-hmm. the outcome is always better than someone else who didn't. Who didn't have the conversation, who didn't have something scratched down on a piece of paper. Because the other part about safety is whatever we write on the paper today, Haley, it's going to change.
Yeah.
And we're required to look at it every year underneath federal law. Whatever we decide today, they say, hey, Darcy, I'm sure some things are going to change. So next year, you got to look at this again. If it's still all true, great. But if it's not, we need to make some modifications because this isn't stuff that just sits on a shelf and collects dust. Yeah. This is that like breathing, living. It's, and, you know, you were kind of talking like everyone who's in business, who's listening to this right now, you didn't go to safety school and then decide to open up your business. And in most business schools, there isn't a chapter on safety. And in most of your budgets, there isn't a line item for spending money on safety. Yeah. So the challenge is you're really good at what you do. You have a great idea. You have a great team. You have a great whatever. You build a company and then all of a sudden you're so big that you realize there's risk and that your customers are pushing back and your insurance agency is pushing back or something happens. And that it's something that happens, right? There's morale and there's legal issues and there's, you know, financial impacts from all those kinds of things. And you thought, oh, so, you know, I'm not good at all in the math world. I have an accountant team that helps me, right? I don't want to read law. So I have an attorney that I call who reads law all day long. I really think that companies have to put a safety provider, a safety support services, you know, their partnership with MassMEP, the professional trades associations, the professional organizations who have a pulse on what's going on. I mean, why were we successful? Because guess what I do all day long? I read stuff related to safety and then I was able to bring it back and we were able to reach out to your community, right? And share that because they had so many other things to worry about. So we needed to make some changes just like everyone else needed to make changes and the way we're delivering trainings, the information that we're delivering in these trainings. How many of you guys have ever attended a training and been bored out of your mind? Thought it was a waste of time. The instructor liked talking to hear themselves talk. You're like, oh my God, what did I actually learn? You weren't able to fill your pockets with anything to do. And for me, I go to a training. I want to get some stuff done while I'm there because I'm too busy as all of you are, right? So you spend, you know, 10 hours, 5 hours, 3 hours in a training, and now they want you to go back and spend another 3 hours in your office. I got a line of people waiting for me when I get back to my office.
Yeah.
I got no time. So these trainings that we're producing, we've got to create more of these workshop style.
Yeah.
Right. The part the gym's going to be doing is really going to be stimulating their mind, getting them open to ask these open-ended questions, challenge what they already have. Is this right? Isn't it right? Should we change it? Ooh, I didn't know that. And then on the second half, when I'm doing that training with them, we're really going to take that information and we're going to dive in and we're going to get some work done. So yeah, we needed to make some modifications. We're not just calling this the pandemic control plan or the exit strategy. This is way more than that. This is giving you guys a foundation, building that foundation, and then allowing you to take it and move forward with it.
Yeah, I think, and you had said that too, you know, when we had just did this training, and we had 9 participants in the training. It was actually 8 different companies that were part of it, and they went through it. And when we were talking about it, you had even said, you know, this is the pandemic, yes, is a big chunk of this, but there's so much more to it. It's that onion that we're peeling back all these layers, right? And finding out what else we need to do. And so you had said, and I didn't think about it in that moment. And then we kind of switched our gears and making sure that the outreach we're putting out and the message we're getting out to our audience and the manufacturers in Massachusetts is letting them know that this, yes, COVID did make a huge change and adjustment. And it kind of almost put the entire US, which would be a company, on halt and be like, all right, start, you know, like we got to go back and rearrange and realign and see how we're doing, and let's pivot and see what we need to do safety wise, whatever it may be. But there are also other parameters that get included in that. And so we said, this is there. You look at some of the small or medium sized manufacturers. And when we ask them, you know, you always like to say, are you a 1, 3, or 5, and knowing where they are in their level of having their emergency action plan or contingency plan or whatever, however they want to call it, describe it, and knowing that it's so much more than that. And then we sit through this class, we have some of these people in here, and when they start talking to each other and they're like, wow, I never even thought of that. Like, that didn't even cross my mind as something. So there are a lot more pieces out there that you're bringing back to this puzzle to help them put together. And that's what's happening over. We do it. We do 2 days in 1 week, and then we break a week. You get people the time to assess, get their plan together, send it to you. You look it over. And then the third week, that's when it's full blown. Your hands are like, it's just like when you're making sourdough bread and you've got to punch it down, you take your rings off and you're in it. You know what I mean? Like, you really do. You really have to be in it. You really have to kind of submerge yourself into this to understand what's going on. And that's really where this training is and why we've pushed it to where it is today. And you can kind of tell them, you know, give us an idea as to what, you know, what they can expect. You know, obviously the first week we do instructional, third week with you, which is the second week of the training, but third week by calendar wise, that was when you actually do the implementation part of it.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I say that some days you guys all get up this morning, you all took a shower, right? You all got dressed and you all went to work. Okay, here's the deal. You didn't go, oh, let me wash 5 minutes on this side. Okay, now it's time for me to turn. Let me turn 5 minutes over here. Let me soap the back of my hand. Let me soap my knee. You didn't put, oh, right leg in first, then the left, you know, right leg, then the right shoe, then left shoe. Even getting down. Oh, you didn't think counting down the stairs. In other words, we are on autopilot. You guys drove to work today. You took a right, left, and probably parked in the exact same parking lot you always park in every single day. Walked through the same door, hung up your coat, and, you know, same Dunkin' Donuts every single morning. We are creatures of habit. Yeah. We walk around our companies and businesses with our blinders on, not intentionally, but we all have this to-do list and we all have this like routine that we typically practice. Having us taking this workshop, having these conversations with Jim, having these conversations with me, having the conversations with the other people that are in the class with you, it makes you break out of that autopilot, makes you break out of that routine. After we had these conversations, people were like, I walk by that every single day and never even noticed it. Yep. Because we teach you how to put a different pair of glasses on when you go to work, because we got you thinking differently. Yeah. So yeah, we want to see your plans. I mean, here's the other part. We recognize that safety is typically added to your to-do list. None of you on here are probably full-time safety professionals in your company with nothing else to do. Yeah. Most of you have a full-time job. Safety's been added to it. You're sharing with someone else, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get all this done. Mm-hmm. What if you could come to this workshop, We can ask you the questions. You have time to go ask the players in your company, right? Get some information, come back and send me what you've got, and then get real-time feedback, responses, solutions, recommendations. Would that save you a lot of time? I bet you it would. Would that be a learning curve? Yes. I'm going to give you the cliff note version. Look, I loved college, but I was all set with a movie. If I could watch a movie instead of reading the book, someone else, right, who, you know, had the cliff notes back then. We had cliff notes, right? Yeah. Not, you know, dummy 101 books. We had the cliff notes. I mean, I was all about the shortcut because I was always like, you know, next. So what if instead of you going to safety school, instead of you spending hours, weeks, days, months of your life in learning safety or reading the book, everyone knows that the OSHA book is like three and a half inches thick, right? And there's four of them.
Yeah. But
none of you have time to read that. So just take the Cliff Note version, take the shortcut, come spend time with me and Jim. We're going to basically walk you through the process. We're going to answer a whole bunch of open-ended questions. You get free consulting the whole time that we're on, right? Because we're opening the chat. We're making sure that and your question's not going to be that much different from the next person. In an emergency action plan, we all have to have the same criteria in a plan. Again, how you might do it versus how we might do it might be slightly different, but you know what? Hearing the other ideas, again, makes your job so much easier when you're pulling this all together. So we also talk about hazardous communications and PPE and bloodborne pathogens and first aid and the COVID, because all of that goes into your emergency action plan. It's not just one OSHA standard that gets impacted by this. They all overlap to some degree in terms of what we do and how we do it. And again, you probably just don't have the time to connect all those dots. This is what we do every day. So why not let us connect those dots for you, simplify it, and we can have fun. I mean, if you haven't figured out my personality right now, I'm on high speed. I'm on high energy. You are not falling asleep in one of my classes. So I can guarantee you that. And you better show up with pen and paper, because your to-do list of how you're going to get this done is going to be written when you're finished with me.
Yeah. I think the one thing that we are always proud of being able to do as well and offer and provide is that this training for small companies that are with the Small Business Direct Access Program, there is no cash flow obligation to them at all. None. Yes, you are investing 12 hours of your time, but if you listen to what Darcy just said, if you were to go out and pay somebody to come in and do this for you, you can't match those numbers. You just can't. So you're investing your time. It is 12 hours of your time, but the return that you get from that, it literally is exponential. Like you cannot, that's why these impacts are so big. When we go back and we talk to each of these clients that we work with and they say, I would have paid $15,000 to have somebody come in and do this for me. And I could do this with you. And I spent this time with Darcy. It was 12 hours of my time and I didn't pay a penny for it. Now, that's not to say that if we won't take people in that are over 100. So if you have companies that are over 100, you can come in. Absolutely. There's a fee. There's a little bit more of a cost, but it's still minimal in comparison to what you would pay for somebody else. So we kind of talk about, you know, like when they do, is there certain people, Darcy, that should attend, or, you know, is there anybody really that you wouldn't say could attend?
All right. First, I want to make a one comment, first of all, to support what you're saying, Haley. Look, I could fish for you, but what happens next year? I told you have to look at this plan and things are going to change. And if you don't learn this process and how to make the decisions and why a decision was made in your plan, I mean, yes, you could absolutely hire us and pay for us to do it, but it kind of defeats the whole purpose. The goal is for us to teach you how to fish.
Yeah.
That way, when someone's asking you, why did you make this choice or decision, or you need to make a new one, you know how to make those choices and decisions. And these are skills that you're going to be able to carry over into everything within your company in terms of problem solving and hazard assessment or safety or in other departments as well. So I think it's really important for people to say, I think your value and your return on your value with this program is through the roof. It's why my company has aligned myself with MassMEP. It's because of the value and the impact. You guys, I teach stuff all day long. And yes, people pay me to do stuff for them. But at the end of the day, guess what? They're calling me back in year two. They're calling me back in year three. We want sustainability. We want independence. We want you guys to be able to protect yourself and not, you know, I fire myself. Like, I'm going to teach you how to fire me at the end of the day or use me in a different way.
Yeah, right.
Let me help you grow your business. Let's not work on the basic stuff. Let's work on growing your business, right? So who should be attending? All right. If you're listening to this and you've gotten this far in this recording, why have you not registered? Yeah. Like, I don't even know why you're still on this podcast. You should be registered already. Okay. That's number one. Number two, if you listen to it this far and you're registered, you're not going alone, right? Like, someone else is helping you with safety. And so you absolutely should not be doing this alone, nor can you, can you? My repeat quote, everyone hears it all the time. It's like a mantra. Darcy, yes, we can't eat an elephant in one bite. We got to eat it one bite at a time. I say it over and over and over again. But the truth is you're on this podcast and you're thinking, oh, great, this will help me. This will save me time. I need to do it. Who else is on your team? Who else needs to hear it? You know, what happens if you're not there tomorrow? Yeah. So, I think that if you're on a safety committee, you need to participate this. If you're an owner of the company and your company is so small, like 10, 12, 13 people, then you should spend the time to do it. You'll make the choices, you'll make the decisions, because you're the one that loses your house, goes to jail and gets the fines.
Yeah.
So understand what position you're in and how to protect your company. You know what I mean? It's an asset, you know, in all sorts of ways. Or have someone from your executive team do it. Typically, we see HR. HR is always involved in safety in some directions, operations. And listen, I will tell you, we always want someone with money. So if you can get anyone related to the finance, the controller, right? That's always good to have someone like that involved, because safety does cost a little money. But I'm telling you, it costs less on prevention than it does on the other side. And then plant facilities. So again, depending on what you guys have for departments, like, these are the kinds of people. You guys, the plant and the facilities guys are my favorite people in any company. Why? Because they're the ones that really know how the company operates, where all the buttons are, where all the switches are, how to get in and out, what's going on. I mean, they truly, if you need something fixed, repaired, improved, I mean, it's plant and facilities that needs to be your best friend on a seat in the safety world. So, I would strongly suggest that you just take a look and that you don't come alone.
Yeah.
The bottom line is don't come alone. Cause I will, mark my words, in the training, you're going to be like, Darcy said I shouldn't come alone. I'm halfway in this. And I was like, I should have had this person come on. Right. Yep. Every single one of you are going to be like, she told me and I should have, and I didn't. And well, I'll just get it done myself and I'll just explain it to everyone else later. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we have a couple people in our building that, you know, that's who, they've gone through this training and they know it. That's Matt and Lisa at MassMEP. And now, obviously, we work with a lot of small manufacturers. You know, they maybe only have a one or a two man show. Usually it's a two man show. Very rarely do you get a one man show. But even them, you know, if it's just a really small and they wear many hats, you know, we're extremely passionate about this. And the reason being that the whole purpose of why we're talking about this, and this is where Darcy's going to give you all this, the intel on this, is because of what's happening. So Darcy just did a vlog with Lisa Derby Odin, who's one of our project manager coordinators. She's got another big title. So I apologize, Lisa, for botching that up for you, but she does a vlog and it's on our website at massmep.org. But there is a purpose behind this, right, Darcy, as to why we're saying this is important because of being a manufacturer.
Yeah. So there's two things you guys probably need to know. Let me just bullet point out and you guys can connect the dots. All right. So we're not going to speculate. We're just going to tell you what we know and then you can figure this out. So number one is President Biden asked that OSHA put out a federal law. They said, no, we're not going to put out a federal law. Instead, they put out a directive. What's that directive mean? That means they put together a guide for all the area regional offices on COVID-19 so we could enforce it versus educate, train, prepare, plan ahead of it, right? They were kind of leaving it up to you guys. So that gets a little sketchy, right? So then basically President Biden then goes and nominates California's Department of Labor, Mr. Parker, into federal OSHA. Now, yep. Mr. Parker had already finished doing all of the state laws over in California. So I already have a copy of everything that's happening in California, and I have already a copy of the template of the COVID control plan. You want to know how many pages that control plan is? 42 pages. Now, I don't write a 42-page control plan. We know how to modify that and bring it down. That was pages of information plus supporting documents, right? So I guess on average, I got to tell you, it's probably around 14 pages. Okay. But for those of you guys that have a one or a two page, or those of you who just downloaded it off the website, check the boxes and sign your name, you are way out of compliance. You're not even close to what the expectation is going to be. So now we have in draft form, whatever the federal law for COVID-19, the control plan is going to look like, that has been submitted. OSHA has announced that they're hiring 160 new employees. Now, they haven't said 100% that they're enforcement agents. That wasn't written in the directive from DOL, but it was pretty clear, the comma that came after that and the next sentences that kind of alluded to a lot of them potentially being enforcement agents because they brought them on to help support the initiative around the COVID-19 control plan that's going to be released. Now, remember, on March 15th, all these area directors, all these area locations were given the green light to start coming onto your property and doing audits, investigations, without there being any injury or illness complaints, without there being anything, because it's called a national emphasis program. So there is a national emphasis program that allows OSHA to come knocking on your door. And you're still thinking, okay, well, again, how's that have anything to do with me? They've never been here before. They're not going to come knocking at my door. Well, hold on. Let me give you a little bit more information.
Yeah.
So $10 million was supported to the Susan Howard grant. $100 million was given to OSHA on the American Rescue Plan for 2021. And now what we're seeing is that in this new emphasis program, a national emphasis program, they put out two lists, A list and a B list initially. And what they said is they want the agencies, the area directors, to follow up on list A first and then move to list B. And then all the other companies after that. So who's on list A? A lot of healthcare. Who's on list B? Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. Not one type of manufacturing. There's like 32 different kinds of manufacturing NAIC codes listed on page two. So you guys are right in line for being audited, reviewed, enforcement, you know, potential of getting someone to visit your door, and you've never had OSHA show up in 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. You know, so this is a very different look. It's a very different feel to what's actually happening out there along the way in terms of, again, what this all going to look like. So now we're waiting for the final federal law to be passed and that to be, you know, sent out to us. We'll see what that looks like. But we've got to be prepared. You guys have got to line up your ducks. Your employees still, you know, can call. They're still protected against retaliation. Department of Public Health in your local communities, they're still involved. So there's a lot more exposure still existing out there. Even though everyone's getting vaccinated, and you might be feeling a little bit better about that, and people's comfort level might be coming up, they're still going to write a regulation around what we have to do in the workplace. A permanent regulation. So infectious control and bloodborne pathogens has only been part of what general industry or manufacturing has had to do. It's been mostly in healthcare, but you now are going to have a bloodborne pathogens, infectious control, COVID-19 control plan, pandemic control plan that you guys are going to be held accountable to. It's a different look and feel.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're going to get a lot of people that are, you know, it's funny because we had a moment earlier today and you know, you're like, I'm not the sky is falling kind of person, you know, and we'll have some people that will say that, like, really, is this really what's going to happen? We always say it's very similar to, I have a perfect example, cybersecurity, and people saying, I don't really need cybersecurity. Well, guess what? If you've missed the news or been living under a rock, I got to come up with a new metaphor instead of living under the rock. I use that one a lot. But if you have been living under a rock for the past 24, 36 hours, there was a pipeline that was hacked and there's cybersecurity. So it does show what can really happen. And this is another one of those circumstances where it's like, but do I really need it, Darcy? You know, and so we say, it's better to do it now where you have this minimal investment. If you have to have an investment, if you come and you're under 100 employees and you can do the training for free and you're walking away with this super, super value add, what's really the loss in any of this? And then you have it and it's done. And if somebody doesn't come knocking on your door, guess what? That's great. But if they do, you're set either way.
Correct. It's called prevention. And yeah. So you should look up the costs associated with the fining structures, right? That are going to happen. I mean, if OSHA's hiring all these individuals and the fining structures are going to happen and there's going to be finings, I mean, 12 hours in a free training, right? That helps you support your COVID-19 control plan.
Yeah.
And DPH and OSHA show up and you're like, here it is. It's 14-ish pages and we've got all this stuff to prove it. Disinfecting logs, our posters are up. We've got our training in place. And that ends up costing you zero.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was free training and just butts and seats. Not that it's 100%. I understand butts and seats cost you money. I'll tell you, with a fine start, $12,000. So the first fine can start at $12,000. Now, does OSHA create smaller fines than that? Yes, $4,800, $32, $54. But if you go to their website, it says that for things that aren't life-threatening, and I don't know if they're going to classify COVID-19 as life-threatening or not, other than serious, willful, serious violations, that's how they classify it. I don't know what bucket it's going to go in yet.
Yeah.
But it can start at $12,000. You know what else OSHA put out? Tip note to self. The little envelopes that you see when you go to an OSHA regulation or in a book, if you actually do old school, the little envelopes next to it means there's a letter of interpretation. And OSHA's been putting out lots of stuff on letters of interpretation because they write this stuff and we're like, what does that really mean? Right. Yeah. And everyone asks me, I'm like, I don't know. So we got to go looking for it and ask for their interpretation. My interpretation doesn't matter. It's their interpretation. Right. So they go out and interpret. Do you know, just FYI, I don't know what's going to happen yet. We're going to wait and see. But OSHA's already put out a statement that says, if your company is going to mandate vaccinations, if your company is going to mandate vaccinations as part of employment, then if I get sick, if I get injured, if I end up in the hospital, if I die as a result of you mandating me getting a vaccination, that is now going to be on your OSHA recordable log.
Ooh.
So that's already out there.
Okay.
So these are these little things that are kind of happening on the way. We have no idea exactly what this is going to look like, but I told you, if we look at what's happened, we can kind of connect the dots and we can get a sense for what's coming for us. So yeah, a third of you are going to be like, all right, I just drank the Kool-Aid. I am in, Darcy. A third of you are going to be like, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. It'll be here. Why don't I wait and see, you know, it's busy now. I'll get to it later. And then a third of you are like, it's not for me. Don't worry. We're going to do it again. So you're all feel free to come back another time. And if you get in trouble, call MassMVP or us. We'll help you out. Right. Yeah. I mean, we're always going to be here as a partner for you. Our job is to, you know, hopefully help you wherever you are at whatever stage of your business, whatever your needs are. We're here to help you on hopefully the prevention side. Now, shit, life happens, things get caught up. We know that it gets crazy and that's okay too. So here's the deal. On the other side, we are a resource for you as well.
Yeah.
Always reach out. You're never alone in this. You guys, I said at the beginning of the pandemic, when I started training and teaching this stuff like a year and a half ago, We are all in the same storm. But we are not all in the same boat.
Yeah.
We are a year plus into this, like over a year and a half. I've been doing COVID plans for a long time now. We're a year and a half into this. We are still in the same storm, but clearly we are still not all in the same boat. Look at what the restaurant industry, still look at what's happening in healthcare. Look what's going on still in manufacturing. You know what I mean? But there's a lot around us that is still happening that we need to, you know, band together to help each other out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right, Darcy. I think there are some changes coming along as well with the Commonwealth and what they're doing and what they're looking at doing for the Small Business Direct Access Program. We don't have the full intel on that yet. And that will be, we'll get into that more as it is released to us. But they've done the same thing. You know, they've looked at things, they've looked at these small businesses and they've said, we need to give them some more opportunities. This, you know, this is I would consider this to be a silver lining of the pandemic, where they finally took a step back to say, wow, we need to give back to these small businesses. So that will change. And Darcy's right on with saying that this isn't the last time we're doing this training. This is going to be here. This is something we will always have. It's a part of our course offerings that we do at MassMEP. And it is, like you said, that's probably one of the biggest impacts that we have seen, definitely from just doing a webinar series. You know, we literally just did them as like an informational session. So if we wouldn't have been in a pandemic and would have been face to face, it would have been an information session. But I think the biggest impacts that we have seen. I could be corrected. Christy or Kim would correct me on that, but I think it is one of the biggest we've ever had the impacts on in regards to an information session because of this training. So this will be here. And like Darcy said, yeah, we are here as your resources. That's what we're around here for. And that's why I say what you have in front of you for this training between Jim and Darcy, I can't promote it enough. I really can't. I can't talk about it strongly enough to say you just have to attend it. Even just that last statement with you saying, if you're going to make it mandatory, I've heard that. I have heard that in the last week. I've heard a client say, yes, I'm going to make it mandatory. Everybody gets a vaccine. And I don't know, you know, the parameters around that. So I'm like, you might want to look into attending this training. You may learn something from that. So that one single statement alone right there, like that's proof in the pudding. You really should get into this training. Before we wrap up, Darcy, is there anything else that you think is really important we kind of need to hit home in regards to the training that we're doing?
So I think this training that I'm going to give you just a little bigger picture. Okay. So I don't want to be so nearsighted on this. Mm-hmm. So emergency action planning and business continuity planning and these appendices that we're going to talk to you about and implement, it's all part of your new hiring process. It's all part of your own onboarding requirement on day one. And I've been hearing in the last 45 days how manufacturing has really struggled to hire, mm-hmm. how a lot of manufacturing is going to temp to hire, you know, using agencies. And we know that there's a lot more risk in bringing in employees through a fast track and not walking them through a strong onboarding process, that you have higher risk for injury and illness. You have higher risk for, turnover and costs associated with that. Obviously people are more educated, so people can make phone calls, you know, about safety and wellness to DPH, OSHA. I have heard this as a concern, a new, more recent concern for manufacturing as a result of having to do all these different kinds of hires and turnovers and agencies and so on and so forth. Look at this also as part of this new hire process, as part of this new onboarding process. This is part of what needs to happen for you to be compliant and to create a safe, healthy working environment. So I think then the near future, Haley, wink, wink, some of the upcoming programming, because basically you guys steer it to us. You guys are directing to us what your needs are. Yeah. Our job is, right, to help fill the need, the problem solve for you, if we can do that. And I see this new onboarding hiring process related to safety and how do we, you know, get safety going in the right direction as being one of those other challenges. Yeah. So remember, by taking this workshop, it's also part of your new hiring and onboarding process. So let's think about that. Let's not just think of this in one way. Let's think about it in how many different ways it's also going to help your business and how many other areas of your business that need the support or need the help or need the development.
All right. That's perfect. So that's all the serious stuff. But I said I would talk a little bit about Smash It. So at the end of these trainings, people are like, holy cow, I didn't realize this was going to be so crazy and I missed all this stuff. You kind of have an outlet for them, right? And they can come over and just smash the crap out of stuff.
Have you ever wanted to throw a plate 20 feet across your room and smash it on the wall just for the sake of doing it?
Yes.
I mean, how about a baseball through a window? Or, I mean, there's nothing better than taking a baseball bat to a microwave and just getting it all out. So we actually have a really fun place. It's kind of like my spoof. If you guys were a Saturday Night Live fan, or if you guys watch the show, The Office, like, you know, and they do that CPR segment, you know what I mean? That's hysterical. The fire, you know, evacuation plan in The Office, like those videos are hysterical. Well, my whole the smash it to location is kind of that. It's hysterical if you think about it, because I own a safety company. So right. This is a place where you just get to come and break stuff for fun, for no reason. We have cars outside that you can smash. In our buildings, you get to, you know, throw plates, smash cups, take baseball bats, thunder sticks, beat up a microwave, destroy a bureau, and do it with friends and family. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but we have great fun music playing. Everyone's having a good time. You get your private rooms because we are still in a pandemic. Everyone's got a private room. It's by appointment only. But I will tell you, through this pandemic, it's been a blessing in disguise. Families getting to spend time together. There's been mourning and processing that's need to happen. Some families really struggled with loss, with suicide, with not being able to have a proper burial. We had social services communities, sobriety houses celebrating anniversaries of 1 year sobrieties. Great. We had all kinds of amazing stuff in this place. And so more laughter than we did tears, which is great. But yeah, so you know what, Haley, it's one of those things that you just have to put on your bucket list and try it once. Yeah. And I can guarantee most people, after they try it, they're like, oh, that was better than I thought. Like, that was more satisfaction than I thought. Like, can I get another, please?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's bring that right in for you. So thanks for asking.
Yeah. I think at one time, I think you said to me, there's nothing more satisfying than smashing a microwave. I think you maybe had said like, they're the best ones. If you're going to go after something, get an old microwave and just pound it.
Something to be said about that. And for all the mothers out there, you don't have to clean up the mess, which is even better.
I take care of it. Yeah, that's awesome. So, and that's in, you have that in, are you in Worcester or are you in
Worcester? Worcester. 49 Canterbury Street in Worcester, right across from Table Talk Pies in the brand new building.
Oh, nice.
Just outside the new Woosox kind of circle.
Love it. Love it. Great area down there. So the Woosox had their opening game today. So if you're listening, you'll know that this was actually recorded and you'd be like, wait, they had their opening game today. I thought that was yesterday. Yeah, it was, but yeah. So it was, but I know when you go in there, because you are, it is, you know, owning a safety company. I'm pretty sure you probably super gear up, right? When you have to like hard hats, glasses, work gloves, like the nines, right? You're making everybody super like gear up before they go in and smash
you
stuff.
Got it. So besides all the crazy disinfecting protocols, because it's what we do for a living,
right?
Besides all the cleaning and disinfecting, you are definitely going to be geared up. So we suggest long sleeves, long pants, closed-toed shoes. If not, we have these really cool white disposable Tyvek suits that you put on, they glow in the dark. We do everything in the dark, by the way. So that makes it even, you know, safer, right? We smash in the dark under black lights with glow in the dark paints all over the place. So everything spray paint with glow in the dark paint, right? Yeah. So, you know, we're all in. So yeah, you get face shields, you get gloves. You come out a hot, sweaty mess if you want to. Now, if it's date night, you might not work as hard, right? But if you want to go in there, break a sweat, I mean, we've got like, you know, basically the workout for you. It's just a different kind of workout.
Oh my God. I love it. It's kind of reminded me of one of my favorite shows I used to watch, and it was on HBO and heard it's coming back. It's going to be rebooted. So, but he was an FBI agent, but he was also a serial killer at the same time. So, but he was very meticulous and he knew how to work with blood splatter. And so it's, I remember watching it and seeing like, Tyvek's up everywhere, and there were paint, what are they called, the sheets, the drop cloths, and oh yeah, so this is kind of reminding me of the same kind of thing. And yeah, but the nice thing is you could leave it behind and not have to worry about cleaning it up at the end.
So true. Quick statistic, 92% of all people who attend smash rooms, there are like 9 or 12 of them now in the US, they're not many, there are more in Europe and Asia, are all women. Women initiate the date night. Women initiate the appointments. Women come by themselves in groups. It's more women than there are men. So I think we've saved some few ex-boyfriend windshields and possibly even some husbands / tires. I don't know. So I think there might be a few of those in there as well. I might try to start tracking different statistics, different KPIs in terms of the community.
Yeah, let's shift those around a little bit. Oh, we might end up with a bad name up here in Massachusetts, but I didn't realize. So there's only about a dozen of them in the US.
Yeah, I think right now towards the tail end of the pandemic, you know, people had some ideas. I think we started right in the middle of the pandemic. What were we thinking? But I think that it's just starting to catch on here. We'll probably see some more popping up. But yeah, we were one of the first people to kind of get it going in this area.
That's awesome. I said I was going to ask you the question, you know, you being in the industry that you're in, is it like a creature of habit everywhere you go? When you walk in, you just instantly are analyzing and like,
I see things probably differently than other people see them.
Right.
And for a while I had to like kind of justify a little bit of my behavior. So I think, again, I'm an entertainer as well as an educator. So way back when workplace violence shooting started happening like crazy. So I went and got my ALICE certification and I became ALICE certified and my kids were younger. So I was literally the parent who knew where the exits were. I had my husband, I'm like, you're grabbing Tyler because he's too heavy for me. I'm grabbing Matthew. Like, you're going to go here. You're going to go there. And it's all just part of like having the plan. If I had the plan and we knew everyone was on the same page, we can enjoy the movie and popcorn. Right.
Yeah.
I can't imagine every parent when all those shootings started happening in movie theaters and the Batman thing and all that kind of stuff, you can't tell me that you don't think about it a little differently. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not a crazy person. I'm not obsessive, but I will say that I probably think of things a little bit differently or a different perspective than most people in the first 5 seconds. After 5 seconds, I got a plan. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Darcy, we appreciate you spending some time with us today. You're very busy and thanks for carving out some time. But we would be, it would be missed if we did not discuss Jim Seropoulos from Exolytic, who does do the initial training portion of this workshop itself. So he's our ISO extraordinaire, and that's what he's been doing. And we love Jim. Anybody that has been to any of his trainings really likes the way that he does the trainings, how he puts things into perspectives for everybody to really get a grasp on and understand. But yeah, Jim will step in. He does the first week. So he'll spend 6 hours with everybody. And then, you know, like we said, you take a break and then you come back and you really start to implement the instructional side of what Jim has put together with Darcy, and you walk away with it. So you really top notch, like to definitely, you know, two of our best facilitators that we have when it comes to the services that we, you know, and our product offerings that we have at MassMEP. So, and especially now more than ever, this is the time you really want to take advantage of this opportunity. So yeah, so you wouldn't want to miss out on seeing either one of these two for this training session. So yeah, if you can go on to massmep.org and get registered and you'll find out. So yeah. So thanks, Darce. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Miss Haley. We also appreciate it. And for everyone, have a fantastic day. Be safe, be well. And we'll hope to talk to you guys and see you guys in June.
Yeah, she'll hold you to that too. So yeah. So thanks everyone. Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.